Our reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The fellowship of believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, in just a moment, one of our readers and church wardens, Dave Atkinson, is going to come and preach to us. But before he does so, I'm going to pray for him. In a moment, David's going to be starting a new sermon series for us, and I'm sure he'll explain a little bit more about that as he begins. But allow me to pray for Dave as he comes to open God's word to us. Heavenly Father, thank you for Dave. I thank you for his ministry here at St. Patrick's. Lord, we're so blessed by his involvement and all that he brings. So Lord, this morning I pray you'd grant him a sense of peace as he shares. I thank you for what you have put on his heart and in his mind to share this morning. Lord, as we listen, I pray you would open our hearts and minds to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Sam. And good morning, everybody. It's just so great to be here with you all this morning. And I hope you're really well. I hope you're enjoying or maybe looking forward to getting out more as these lockdown restrictions start to ease up or continue to ease up. You know, it's been and it's going to continue to be, you know, a hard time, isn't it? It's been a struggle over these last few months. But, you know, there's been loads of good things that have been happening through this time as well. And I was reflecting this morning on some of these. The traffic's been great. Mondays, as I've driven Jacob to school, I've been able to drive straight through the traffic lights at Five Ways, which has been brilliant. I mean, I stopped at the red lights, of course, but I mean, just, you know, being able to, no traffic, no traffic jams has been brilliant. I've had some lovely conversations with people on the phone, which probably wouldn't have got the opportunity to do. And there's been the wonders of technology that so many of us have embraced through, particularly Zoom meetings. I wonder how many hours of Zoom meetings we've all racked up between us over the time. And it's been fun, hasn't it? It's been fun nosing into people's rooms and seeing what they've got on their walls and so on, trying to see what books they're reading and that type of thing. And it's been fun how children and animals and annoying husbands just spontaneously break into someone's meeting and you know, have a little wave. But some I've noticed, actually, some of the Zoom meetings are a bit more difficult. I'm sure some of you have found them a bit tiring. I remember a week or so ago, we had a meeting. David King, the vicar, and myself, and Anna Griffin, my fellow church warden, was having a meeting. And James, Anna's husband, he sort of... he came into the room. He hadn't really thought about the angles, the camera and the mirror, as he decided to think about getting changed. Fortunately, Anna was on it. I mean, we've got a policeman and a school teacher between them. They managed to sort it out. So that was all right. And I think for me, one of the highlights is, which just sort of encapsulates, you know, the sort of the things we might have missed, was I'd never thought I'd receive a text message that would express such excitement about stopping at a motorway service station. And I got one of those last Monday, and it said, "I'm at a service station." And that was Sam Lomas, our assistant minister, halfway back to Wallington, leaving Chesterfield after all those months. It was just really funny. Sam, it's such a blessing to have you back in Wallington with us. But of course, I mean, that's all been great, but of course it's been serious as well. And, you know, for many, many reasons, it has been such a tough time for people, for the thousands and thousands of people who have lost loved ones. I'm sure we all know someone or know someone who knows someone, as it were, who has died during this time. For those where the loneliness of enforced isolation has been such a struggle, and where financial implications are hard and could become more difficult over time. And yet, because he is good, God has used these times for good. And it's been such a blessing to see his hand at work during this time. And as Sam said, that's why we wanted to do this sermon series, Coming Out of Lockdown, we've called it. And it's an opportunity for us, together as a church family, to reflect on how we've used the time, what we've learned, what we're going to sort of take out of this, what's going to stay with us, in particular with regard to our walk with Jesus, as followers of him. And so today our theme is fellowship. And you heard the word as Joan read the passage for us from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, where we see that example of those first brothers and sisters in Jesus, our early Christian brothers and sisters. And the word there is in verse 42. It says, they, that's the first Christian community, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, that's the word, to the breaking of bread and to prayer, as Lorna was mentioning earlier. And although I'm going to concentrate on fellowship today, and I'll explain a bit more what that means in a minute, you know, it's important to emphasise that those four marks, those four sort of features of the early church, teaching, worship, prayer and fellowship, well, they're intertwined. They're not separate. They're all intertwined. And they're a model for us to seek to follow because we're heirs of that vision and that purpose of those first Christians 2,000 years ago, whatever our circumstances are. The Bible tells us here in Acts 2 that as a church, as believing brothers and sisters of Jesus together, we should be devoted to, that means committed to, giving priority to, the apostles' teaching. And that for us today means everything that has been witnessed and written and confirmed in the Bible, in God's word. That's why we use it at St. Patrick's every single week. That we meet together and worship together and pray together. That we break bread together, which we call, as Lorna said, what we call communion here at St. Patrick's, where we remember the death of Jesus on the cross through the blood, through the wine and the bread of the blood and the body. And to be devoted to fellowship, doing all of those things I've just said and more together. Now, COVID-19 and the lockdown, well, it could have stopped us doing all of those things because that's what the devil would have wanted. But as I was saying, with the Lord's help, we've been able to meet, we've been able to teach, we've been able to worship, we've been able to be God's people together during this time. And it's just been brilliant. Yes, it's been so hard not being able to meet physically together in this building, to read the Bible together, to study the Bible, to sing together particularly. Hopefully over the next few weeks and months, we'll be able to bring that back as we will this afternoon for our first service. But we are so thankful to the Lord that technology has enabled us to keep doing a load of things in order that we can stay together as a worshipping family. This service every week that we've been live streaming, for instance, and Compline most evenings, and lots of other things that we've been able to do, blogs and vlogs and all sorts of other things that end with og, you know, dialer talk and so on, that to help us in our, encourage us in our discipleship. It's been great that we've been able to carry on with home groups and Bible studies, new groups, new people have joined those groups as well. The 4:12 studies have carried on, worksheets of Frog and activities for the younger children. Helen's been able to do that mini Zoom meeting for our Gospel Rockers. Lorna's been able to do the family teaching every week. It's just been a real blessing. We're so thankful for those things. We're so thankful that prayer has continued. Our prayer for healing team have been carrying on praying by Zoom on Monday, which is just wonderful. It's been a delight to have been able to do a Christianity Explore course every Wednesday by Zoom, getting people together that we wouldn't have been able to. And we've even used the more traditional technology of the postal service. We've been sending out letters to reach those who haven't got technology, some of our lunch club friends, for instance. Now, of course, we haven't got it all right. We've had to learn, we've had to develop things as we've gone on. But we've learnt things and we've changed, and we've learnt things also for how we can worship in the future as well, which is great. We haven't been able to meet together to share communion yet. But the bottom line is that God has been very good to us, enabling us to stay in touch and to grow as his children. And that's a long list, I know, that I've just said. But I think we should remember and we should be thankful and we should celebrate that we have been able to stay together as God's people in these ways. But as I said, intertwined with all of those things is fellowship. And by fellowship, I don't just mean devoted to meeting together socially. It doesn't just mean, you know, joining together to have a barbecue on Sunday lunchtime, for instance. And as I say that, I look at the Springgates here, who have so wonderfully invited me to a barbecue in their garden this lunchtime. And so they are great things. They are good things of the Lord. But it isn't just about socialising in that way. Verse 42 and the other verses expand it a bit for us. And it's devoted not just to fellowship, but it's devoted to the fellowship. Now, the Bible I'm looking at, which is, I think, the translation we used, in verse 42, it just says fellowship, which is fine. But actually, some of you will have a different translation where it says the fellowship, which is the more accurate translation, really. Because the fellowship is a common life. It's a common vision where we worship our Lord and King Jesus. And then as we worship him, we build each other up in the gospel, in the truth of Jesus and how he relates to us. When we commit our lives to the Lord Jesus, in his mercy, in his grace, in his wisdom, he gives us each other. He gives us a family in him, which is amazing, I think, so that we can care for each other. One way I found it helpful to understand fellowship is by thinking about it as two parts, two aspects, sharing in and sharing out. Sharing in something together and sharing out together. And what I mean by that is sharing in the perfect loving relationship that each of us have with the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit when we commit our lives to Jesus, devoting ourselves to worship and learning together and encouraging each other and so on to become more like Jesus. But then flowing out of that relationship, out of the joy that we know that we've already got the most precious thing in Jesus, out of that comes sharing out. Caring, providing for each other in a range of probably more practical ways. Verse 44 and 45 of our reading says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Each of the believers devoted themselves to each other so that no one went without what they needed. Now, this doesn't mean that they had to sell everything and put all the money into one big pot and all live in the same community. It's clear from other parts of the New Testament that that isn't the case. What is clear, though, is that whatever people had, they held it lightly, ready to share it so that no brother or sister in Jesus, no other Christian, was disadvantaged. If you just turn over a page into chapter 4, there's another little passage which describes the Christian community of that time there. And in verse 34 of chapter 4, it says that there was no needy person amongst them. And support for each other was expected, but it was voluntary, as I said. It was voluntary as a particular need arose. And in that same Acts chapter 4, there's a little lovely story of a man called Barnabas who saw that the need among the Christian brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, and he sold a field that he owned, probably in Cyprus, where he came from, to give the money to the less well-off than him. And it's, as I say all this, it's worth underlining again that verse 42 says, devoted to, as Lorna and Will were helping us to understand, that each of Jesus' family is to give priority to others in the same family. All the other things we do are great, but there's a priority for us. And it applies for us today. Although, if I'm honest, it's a big challenge for me. It's a big challenge for all of us, I think. It means that other Christians, come first. Before ourselves, before our biological family, before our best friends and so on. Now, I don't want you to hear me wrong here. It's, of course, absolutely good to be able to care and look after our families, our friends and so on. And of course, there is no need for a Christian to barge into someone else, another Christian's family, if everything is fine. But it's good, it's right also for us to try and help to bring relief to millions of people across the world who are worse off than us. But we have to ensure, as we do that, that our brothers and sisters in Jesus don't miss out on what they need. Whether that's here in our local church of St. Patrick's, or whether that's our wider Christian community, like our persecuted brothers and sisters, for instance. And Jesus makes this clear in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, the passage that we often call the sheep and the goats passage, where Jesus describes illustratively the difference between a sheep, that's a Christian, and a goat, a non-believer. A sheep being the one who noticed another Christian's need and then responded to it with practical help, didn't just walk away or just pray about it, but was able to do something about it. The Apostle Paul, he sums all this up in Galatians 6, verse 10, when he says, "Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So my question is, what has God given you? What has God given you that might be able to meet the need of our brothers and sisters in Jesus at St. Patrick's or beyond? Maybe you've got money or possessions. Maybe you've got experience and expertise and skills. Maybe you've got time. Maybe you've got knowledge. Fellowship is sharing in and sharing out. And as we do that, as we are each devoted to the fellowship, we see a church family growing in both giving and receiving, able to give generously and willingly for the sake of others in the community, but also able to ask humbly and receive graciously, breaking down barriers of pride in ourselves and ignoring false teaching which says we should be able to cope on our own. Jesus has big expectations for us. And as I said earlier, the COVID-19 lockdown, well, it's provided us great opportunities to grow in fellowship. And I'm sure that many of you will have seen fellowship in action over these last few months and have been blessed by the Lord through the help and support of other people. Well, one of the ways that we've sought to grow as a church through these recent months, as we've looked to grow our sense of fellowship, as of being God's people together, well, sprung out of what we already had in place, our care line. So what we're going to do now, with the wonders of technology, hopefully, we're all very confident about it, is that we're going to ask Irene Mandry, who heads up our care line, and I'm going to try and ask her a couple of questions by Zoom, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask a question. I think we can't see both of each other on the screen at once, which is fine. So I'm going to ask the question first to you, Irene. I can't see you, but I know you're out there, and give you a couple of minutes to answer it. And then I'm going to ask the second question, which I'll ask you to answer as well. So my first question to you, Irene, hopefully you are there, is can you provide us all an idea of the type of support that the church has been able to provide across our fellowship during lockdown?
Yeah, sure. Dave, you've already mentioned a lot of things. There's so many things that have been going on, and I've been incredibly enheartened by the ways that people have been so creative supporting each other. I think an awful lot has been done by phone calls. People have been phoning around. As I have phoned around to try and coordinate the Care Line and Buddy scheme, then I have found that people have been taking it on board themselves, really. There's an awful lot of phone calls that have been made, and people that have been encouraging one another. You know, Cameo have been phoning around to their members, and Lunch Club, they've been phoning around. Home groups have been an incredible way of supporting one another. And I think Careline and the Phone Buddy scheme was advertised very well during the beginning of lockdown. And for the first month or so, I was quite busy phoning around and organising and coordinating a nice long list of people who were willing to be buddies, and people who had requested help through Careline or through responding to the various ways that we'd advertised it. And I found that a lot of people have called upon those things. Some of the buddies haven't had to be used, They haven't been called upon yet, but I've got plans for them in the future. Probably I shall be contacting the buddies and talking to them about how they have been working and encouraging people throughout the lockdown. But I will also be discussing the possibility of some sort of future contact that they will be able to have as time goes on. So yeah, so I think it's been just amazing to see the way people have rallied around to support each other. People have been phoning each other. They've been helping with grocery deliveries, and that's it basically. Basically, Dave, I think that explains it.
Thanks. That bit worked well. Thanks, Irene. So one other question for you then, Irene, is, you know, you've been central to a lot of that, keeping an eye on it for us, which has been great. What has blessed you most during this time?
Well, you know, I really have been blessed by doing this, but I think the thing that has blessed me most or encouraged me most has been to see the number of people, often very vulnerable people and people that live on their own, who have been encouraged and helped themselves by buddies phoning and by people popping in with dropping groceries at doorsteps. And I think the thing that's probably blessed me most has been some of the conversations that I've had with people that have possibly been the most vulnerable and the way that they have been an encouragement to me. Some of the conversations have been a real blessing to me, the way they've been so positive about what's been happening, the way they've been able to see little bright lights in times of darkness as well. And I think that's been that's really blessed me. Seeing people sharing their lives with one another, knowing how the buddies have shared their time and gone the extra mile to help the people that they are supporting through the phone buddy scheme. I mean, there have been people that I phoned and I have come away so blessed. You've used the word, Dave, blessed. I found it very helpful. And there have also been people in the community out there as well, because we did advertise it on the Careline and the phone buddy scheme on the notice board outside the church. And we have had a response through that. And I've been really encouraged through that as well. There've been people that have been helped by, there's one in particular that's been helped by one of our young families, and she's been very grateful for the support that she's received. So yes, I thank everybody that has been involved in the buddy scheme, has contacted me through Careline. So thanks to everybody there. And I really have a hope for the future that we will continue blessing each other and continue sharing and caring through this. So yeah, that's that too.
Irene, thank you very, very much indeed. And it's just, as I say, it's just been wonderful to see that. And our prayer, of course, is that, you know, that would be the beginning, that we can grow on that more in the way that we can bless each other and give glory to Jesus as we do that. And, you know, one of the things that we're conscious about is that the coronavirus situation is going to cause financial hardship for many people, including, of course, for our church family members in St. Patrick's. And so I'm really, really excited that, you know, about our new St. Patrick's Compassion Fund, which we're going to be launching today. I'm going to say something a bit more about that after the sermon. But before I finish, just one more thing about fellowship, just sort of building up on what Lorna said also, is that fellowship is a witness to Jesus. It's a witness that we hope and pray will be attractive to other people, as we saw there from Irene, from people in the community, maybe not Christians at the moment. You remember how our passage in Acts chapter 2, it described the church devoted to teaching and worship and fellowship and prayer. And did you notice there how it was sandwiched between verse 41, which was just before our reading, where we're told that 3,000 people became Christians when the Holy Spirit used Peter's sermon. We've got that on verse on 41. And then verse 47, where we see that it tells, let me read the actual words out, that it says that the Christians had the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. that sort of sandwich of evangelism and witness and people coming to know Jesus, because in the middle there you've got this fellowship with the focus on Jesus and loving each other. It's a wonderful, wonderful vision. It's God's people devoted to Jesus, God's people devoted to each other, and God's people devoted to welcoming in new members into the family. And so I leave you with a question. What's something for us all to take away for the week and months ahead is, you know, what has the Lord shown you about fellowship today, or indeed over these last months? What has the Lord shown you about fellowship today or over the last months? And then the question after that comes is, how can you respond? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us each other. Thank you that in your wisdom, that you give us a family when we commit our life to you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you again, Lord, that you, in your power, in our weakness, Lord, we have seen you so strong in helping us to do so many things over these last months. And we pray that you would help us to keep that momentum going and to build and to grow, Lord, so that more people will be attracted to your community, your people, and become Christians. Amen.